You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:07 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. We're going to do a bonus track with Dr. D. Filippo. She was just on the phone with her bookie. And she has to collect later today. There'll be an attaché with a 10 grand in it that she's got to pick up later. So
You're so bad.
All right, before we let Dr. D go, this one...
This is a good one.
Big orange man who was once president would say, this one's huge.
Huge. It's huge.
So this is Steve Christie asked for a situational report on the illegal immigrant situation.
Yes. And
legally processed asylum seekers.
El Paz. Okay. And he
asked dehumanizes them.
We have to decode that. Remember. Okay. This is a reporting period from April the 8th. Through April 24th.
Listen to the numbers that Joanne is going to throw at you. And then remember, go back to us making fun of the Tucson Airport Authority talking about their unbelievably busy first quarter. Wait till Joanne starts throwing the numbers out to you. Young lady, continue.
The current week total for arrivals, 5,110. Week.
We're doing 5,000 a week?
Yeah. Daily average, 730. Now, isn't that an interesting number? Because remember, what did they say? First of all, I don't believe that number. And the reason
too high or too low?
No, the reason why I don't believe it is, remember, what did they say was the number that we can support, but anything above that the county would have to support? Wasn't it 700 a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're saying it's just playing right
into
it.
Yeah, I just think the number's manufactured. If
still
you
a hell of a number.
I think it's not manufactured. It's manipulated. That's what I'm going to say. Single adults, 1,190. Family members, 3,572. Family units, 1,100. And it goes on. And basically, I could sit here and read numbers to you, but what it's saying is we have a tremendous number of legally processed asylum seekers, which I don't believe that acronym. Okay.
So just because the Biden administration is ignoring 27 laws and are letting them in the country doesn't mean there's anything legal about their processing.
Yeah. If just because you say, well, we did this in this way, and because the Biden administration is saying you can do this under our plan, therefore they have decoded it to say this is legally processed. No, we still have laws on the books. This is, it should be an NLPAS, not legally processed.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say this is the slap in the face to anybody who is a Pima County taxpayer, and specifically to those individuals who lost their jobs because they would not get a COVID vaccination, which was required.
So remember, I was talking about last several weeks that Dr. Cullen has been more interested in the health of people who work at Pima County and other things over the years than she is people blowing throughout the entire country.
Well, she's
through Pima County hands.
She's interested in connecting the punitive damage to these people as opposed to helping them.
Yep.
Okay, and by that, we're going to take a look at, there's two paragraphs at the end of this report, actually three, the last one is only one sentence, and it says, generally, LPAS are healthy and have low levels of communicable disease. Let me do a Derridarian. Deconstruct.
Now, one more time, read that sentence. This sentence is amazingly key to the rest of this segment.
The two paragraphs preceding it.
Yes, please.
LPAS are healthy and have low levels of communicable disease. Okay, let's deconstruct that.
Yes.
What it says above in the two paragraphs, it says that trained staff, meaning somebody who received Pima County funds, ask, let me repeat that, ask all single adults and heads of family a series of medical questions, and the staff visually assess all individuals for signs of sickness. Well, I wish that they would have given that same opportunity to the Pima County employees who lost their jobs because they weren't asked and they were not visually assessed. They were demanded. And I'm going to go back to this. My friend and former employee, Helen Dominguez, got the COVID vaccine on Monday and was dead by Wednesday. We were required as Pima County employees to get the vaccine or you risk losing your job.
And it's not like her family can sue anybody because of this, right?
No. And so what it is, it said, you know, it goes through, oh, if you test positive, here's what we do. Okay, all right. From the period of January 1, 2023 to February 29th, 2024, almost all LPAS underwent medical screening. I love how they slide these words in. Almost.
We just talked about should last hour.
Now we're going to talk about almost. Okay.
So think about this. Pima County is admitting that not 100% of the illegal immigrants that they're blowing through the country coming through the county is being
went through a medical screening.
Yeah.
And of those numbers, not 100% were asked and or visually assessed because that's what they did, right? But what they did say is that 66,661 LPAS were identified as at risk for COVID and subsequently tested for COVID. Of that 66,661, 7,344 tested positive and followed the COVID positive LPAS protocol, including isolation until medically cleared for travel. Okay, let's take a look at that. If I take a look at the amount that were tested positive, 7,334 out of the 66,000, that tells me I have an 11% COVID response positive.
Okay? So the 66,000 I thought had COVID.
They were at the risk of COVID. Okay. They were identified as at risk for COVID and subsequently tested for COVID. Okay. Of that number, 7,344 tested positive because what they did is that 66,000, when they either asked them or they visually assessed them, that's where they came up with the number for the 66,661.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then they said, okay, let's take a little bit further look because these people look like they have COVID. How in the
world? You mean a cold?
Yeah. Or they asked them questions. So, you know that last sentence
now,
that says...
Now, remember, I have a little bit of my pessimism hat when it comes with Pima County. Or they call them all COVID because there's some sort of federal fund that pays you to get more money to take care of COVID illegal immigrants.
Well, that's a separate pot of money. Right. The other ones were just going to slide through because we didn't ask them or visually
I have the flu. You mean COVID?
Yeah. But here's the best part.
I think we're having an interpretation problem. You said influenza. You meant COVID?
Actually, what they probably did is they looked over at the balance sheet and said, how much money do we have left in that fund? Okay. We're going to classify. We have no money left. Okay, you're going straight through. We're not going to ask or visually assess. Okay. But stop and think about it. 11% tested positive. And that's just out of doing an ask and a visual assessment. Imagine if we required these people to be tested just like we do with employees, just like we do with U.S. citizens. You follow me? And
Mirror.
It's like,
when they said everyone needs to be COVID vaxxed, it's to save grandma and the whole world. Right?
Correct.
All people around you.
Correct.
But we can blow millions of illegal immigrants all over the country that have COVID and God knows what else. And that's okay.
We can risk, at least we know, 11% of those who quote unquote blew through the system tested positive.
And knowing the county, we got paid on the 66,000, not the 7,000.
Yeah. Well, we did. We had to. We had to get paid on them because of the fact that we had to get to the 7,000 number. Remember? But the moral of this story is it's like oftentimes you hear people say this. You treat family matters.
It's her bookie again. Yeah, oh, right. My God. What happened to you? Oh, I twisted my ankle. You mean you got COVID?
Yeah. We penalized county employees, taxpayers. We penalized them. But yet we let El Paso slip through. Let them have the ability to determine whether or not they wanted to be asked or visually assessed.
Any other communicable diseases mentioned in this?
Oh, yeah. It's a good one. Yeah.
But wait, there's more communicable diseases.
74 cases of chicken pox, okay? And then they say less than 10 cases each of malaria, tuberculosis, and scabies.
Wow. Scabies. I haven't heard scabies in a long time.
Yeah. Remember, wasn't that part of monkeypox? Okay. All right. Yeah. So that, you know, Steve, thank you for asking. Take a look at those numbers in that memo, Steve, and go after this. I just think it's disgraceful what we did to county employees who ended up losing their jobs. I know one person in particular who was denied the ability to go after a director position. He's a deputy director because he didn't get the vacuna, the vaccination.
Oh, hi. Welcome to Pima County. I'm Teresa Cullen. What seems to be your problem? Well, I fell off a log and I cracked my rib. You mean you got COVID? We don't get paid for ribs.
Yeah.
We get paid for COVID around here.
Exactly.
We're saving America.
Exactly. Now, I do want to say Sylvia Lee must have knew something was up. Remember when she did that thing? I want to know about duplication of services.
Yeah.
Well, it's item number 24 on the agenda. And it's remember how they asked for, we want Job Path, Sun Corridor, and Metropolitan Education Commission basically to go back and instead of getting these directed funds, we want them to have to compete for funds. There is a report on job path monitoring. Let me tell you. There was compensation noncompliance. There were procurement noncompliance. There was cost allowability noncompliance, eligibility noncompliance. These are all things that they found wrong with the job path in the report. 17 individuals who were enrolled in the ARPA, the CARES Money Job Path Program, did not even reside in Pima County.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Were there just people at the last meeting saying, Job Path is the greatest thing in the world?
Yeah, and here's the other thing.
Just the tears from people who go to it heal orphans.
What I found interesting is, you know, you click on the links below the agenda item. Not one letter was written in about Sun Corridor or Metropolitan Edge. All the letters were having to do with Job Path, and they were a format letter that obviously was distributed that's speaking positively about it, as well as a letter from Job Path itself. So I do want to commend Sylvia Lee, District 3 supervisor, interim supervisor, for bringing this issue up because it really did highlight. And here's the thing that's getting at. If you've got a community workforce development, why do you need this job path? Okay, why? If you want to say that it's connecting it to increasing footsies, which are full-time enrollments in educational, you get money on your footsies.
It's always about money and getting buddies jobs.
Yes, yes. So
what happened to you, Maria? What, you're bleeding. A fentanyl freak cut my finger. Oh, you mean you got COVID?
Yes. And we got some more money coming in from FEMA. And when you take a look at that, that's agenda item number 58. I want you to ask yourself, remember, here's the decoding of the words again. Remember we called ELPA, they're now ELPAs, but remember they were homeless immigrants?
Right.
Okay. What we're getting money now is for the homeless to purchase food and shelter and assistance. Okay. Trust me. Go back and ask on agenda number 58. Does any of this money apply to homeless immigrants, a.k.a. asylum seekers, a.k.a. undocumented.
All right. Joanne's got to go feed Rebs Regalo. He's hungry.
Oh, my baby boy.
Thanks.
No,
for
he's up in Phoenix. I'm going to feed Seize the Derby.
All right. Good seeing you. Thanks for all your help, as always.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Okay.
Dr. DeFilippo, wake up. We're about 95% successful on the Garth Brooks songs because, again, this is the only album that's a live performance on Spotify. So this is The Dance by Garth Brooks. Are both people still on the phones?
I think Drew is.
All right, let's go to Drew on line 4. Jack, I'm sorry I didn't get to you about your recycled material question. I apologize. Drew, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just am always devastated when I hear that someone has either succumbed or is suffering because of the COVID vaccine or any other vaccine. So I just wanted to clear the record that you can sue for compensation, but there's a difference between the regular vaccines and the COVID vaccine. I've already sent Matt the links to both the VAERS system and the CICP, which is the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program. That one is specifically for the emergency authorized use for the emergency vaccine, which was the COVID vaccine. So the difference between the two is that with the COVID vaccine, there's only a year statute of limitations on that, which is criminal in my mind. In fact, the regular VAERS for any other vaccine, it's a 3-year statute of limitations. But someone like Joanne or her friend or friend's family, they can and they should put something into the CICP because our great friend Aaron Seary is pushing back on that criminality of that being such a short reporting period. So I just want to make sure people realize that, and I would really appreciate it if, Matt, you could put both those links to the injury programs into the show notes so that people can have access to that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for letting us know about that. And again, has there been any, I know there's been a couple of cases out there that they're trying to open up the pharmaceutical companies to some sort of accountability here. Where are we out there?
I don't know. I guess we should have Aaron on again soon, or you should,
so that
he could fill you in on that. That'd be great.
Very cool. All right, Drew, thanks for the update. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks.
Have
Bye.
A good day. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's see. So for some awful reason, the Secretary of State of the United States comes to Tucson, Arizona. What in the hell is that for? So imagine if what's going on in the Middle East, Ukraine, right? Where's Blinken? Oh, he's screwing around with Rahina Romero. What the hell's Rahina Romero? Remember, it was that lady that showed you the postcard with the picture of the bus. Remember that?
This is an electric
bus,
Mr. President.
What did her hair smell like?
Wheels go round and round.
So remember, Kamala Harris was here on the infanticide tour, right? She's the border czar. She's the border czar, people. She was 40 minutes from the border.
Some reporter up in Phoenix just actually asked her, like, you're here. It really caught me off guard that a reporter would even think to ask.
She has access to this thing called helicopters, which could have got her to the border in 15 minutes. Even do a flyover.
Just like George Bush did over the hurricane.
Correct. Run a little Katrina over Nogales. Nothing made me laugh more than the Carrie Lake wishing everyone in Nogales a happy Cinco de Mayo. Do they celebrate Cinco de Mayo in Nogales? She should have ate the big taco salad like Trump did on Cinco de Mayo. That would have been hot.
Best taco bowl.
It's just the best. It's the best. The Mexican people just know how to make us. They have these taco salads all over Mexico. So remember, Blinken comes here. It's your open border policy on why opioids are murdering people at this amazing level of death. Mess with Whitney on this song. So Wendell and Colleen are at LaGuardia right now.
All right.
And they sent me a picture of who was online next to them, and it was AOC.
Lovely.
And said we saw AOC when we're flying out of LaGuardia today. She said she's a big fan of the show.
Said to say hi, did she?
At that point, I said, she says she looks a lot smarter when she wears the eyeglasses. And can you see if there's actual lenses in the frames? And then Colleen sent me back something that I can't repeat.
They had a hearing the other day, and some official, I don't know who it was, I should look it up. It was a good clip. And he basically just shoved stupidity right back down her throat. She talked about immigrants coming across, but he said, well, look, if they come through a port of entry, then that is something legally we have a mechanism to deal with. But when they cross the border, they are, in fact, Congresswoman, breaking the law.
I love it. Let's go to the phone. 790-2040 is the phone number. Got our good friend Chris, El Jefe y Presidente at SolidarityHealthShare.org. What's up, my friend?
Hey, man. I got to say, when I got placed in queue here and then I heard Whitney Houston, I thought that song was for me. I didn't realize totally. It was for AOC, but I got emotional for a minute. I know it's been a while since we've talked.
So. You know what's great about that song? It's for both of you.
I will always love you.
So we were just talking to our friend Joanne, who does a lot of, she breaks down Pima County stuff. And of course, the county is going to blow about $100 million for the illegals blowing through the border, right? And they admitted over the last year or so, they've had, you got to love this, 66,000 have been, by visual and asking, quote, COVID. Then they tested them afterwards, right? And I'm sitting there going, doesn't Pima County to get paid? Don't they want everyone to have COVID? Right? That's still got to be the higher price thing they get money for.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, most likely, especially if they're getting it from the administration. But yeah.
That was a lot of money.
It's a lot of people coming over.
That was the bad joke I was running as poor Joanne's trying to do her job. Like, the guy comes over. He obviously has a broken arm, right? It's just dangling, right? And he goes, oh, he goes, I broke my arm. He goes, no, you have COVID. We don't get paid crap for a broken arm. So let's get to this story from America Magazine, Ethics of Catholic Hospitals Beyond Abortion and Contraception. And my new phrase that I'm going to start using more and more that the pro-life side needs to use, you know, between now and Election Day is stop voting for infanticide.
Right.
We got to start using the I word more.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's interesting, you know, what's happening right now, Chris, and this is something that this article is kind of helping to combat is the left is on this information campaign really since Dobbs, but it's really picked up this last 6 months of going after Catholic hospitals with articles saying, you know, these hospitals are limiting care, people are not getting life-saving care, they're harming patients and all of these things. And the reality is actually the complete opposite. I mean, one of the stories that they ran, there's a group called Kaiser Family Foundation. So let me just tell you, Kaiser Family Foundation, while they claim no ties to the Kaiser Permanente health system, they were founded by the same guy who, you know, spent billions of dollars to found Kaiser Permanente, and they're all related to the family trust, of all those things, right? So the Kaiser Family Foundation is out there putting out stories and publishing stories and asking for people, how are you harmed? You know, and one of the things they're doing is telling, you know, saying, well, this woman came in and with the baby, her water broke early and the Catholic hospital wouldn't let her terminate, right? Which meant the Catholic hospital's waiting for the baby to actually die and let the baby be born naturally or whatever other interventions they could do. And the reality is, Chris, that what we've actually seen in real life is that the Catholic hospitals are the ones who actually try to do more for the child. They're the ones, I mean, when we have secular systems, even here in Arizona, where they won't help save the life of the baby when they're pre-viability. And yet we call the Catholic hospital and they'll take a transfer and fight for the life of the baby. And then a lot of times these secular hospitals then say, oh, never mind, we'll do what you want us to do, because they obviously want that revenue. And so it's an interesting world that we live in, where we're going after these guys. You know, and the reality is, you know, a recent report noted that 16% of all hospital births occur in Catholic facilities. In some states like Oregon and Missouri, 33%. And 61% in Washington of all births take place in Catholic hospitals. So they're actually doing a great service. They're the largest provider of Medicare and Medicaid services, largest provider of health care to the poor. And yet the left, because of abortion, they're going after them to try to shut them down.
So here's those magic questions. How Catholic are Catholic hospitals?
Well, it's a whole other problem, right? That's one of the issues, right? So on the one hand,
I asked the same question about Catholic. I asked the same question about Catholic bishops, but keep going.
Yeah, well, different show. That's Chris and Chris After Dark.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, it's a real issue, and I think it's one of the reasons why we have to push for our Catholic hospitals to remain faithful and to follow, you know, the teachings they proclaim to uphold, because they're going to lose their identity one way or another if they don't stay faithful. So, but we are seeing, in large part, most of them are at least doing these things. There's certainly things we need to fight for and push against. I mean, there's all issues we've talked about with gender procedures and all of that in some of these hospitals. So that's the big question: is faith-based healthcare, you know, is it going to get shut down by what's being pushed for right now, and or even their own hidden agenda, which is a problem.
So a listener just messaged me. She wants to know, how do you know, is there some place to go online that will reliably tell you if a Catholic hospital is actually Catholic in relation to how it does its work?
You know, that's a great question, and in fact, I've been asked that question many times. There's not a great list, unfortunately, and we can certainly say that most of them, I mean all of them, I believe, as far as when it comes to abortion and those things, they're holding the line. The issues come into some of the gender issues and all of that. What I tell people is to go to their website and look at what's there. When you look and you see, rainbow flags all over the place, you kind of know, right? The one thing that I will say is, you know, unfortunately, you know, sort of like politics in a way, like we have to choose the better of the goods, right? And what I do see is that the Catholic hospitals are pretty faithfully not the ones that will try to prematurely end your life. They will go the extra mile to keep you alive if you want to keep staying alive if something's going on. And those issues are upheld well. And so, you know, if you're choosing the lesser of evils, I would say these faith-based hospitals, and this is the same with Christian hospitals. I think some of the Lutheran systems and, you know, other systems around the country, I don't know that we have very many of those here in Arizona, but those are also typically more likely to fight for you and, you know, go the extra mile.
All right, let's go to break, Matt. We're going to visit some great sponsors. We're talking to Chris Faddis, president of SolidarityHealthShare.org, better way to pay for your healthcare costs. Hey, look, money. A lot of this comes down to money. This is from our listeners, Jamie and John Davenport. SolidarityHealthShare.org. Learn how to pay less for your healthcare costs in a moral way. And when we come back, we're going to talk about facility fees in your routine healthcare bills. It feels like the hospitals figured out how resorts do the resort fee for that newspaper you don't read anymore. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. 8:47 in the morning. Jump in Tucson coming up with Dr. Ed Ackerley, him and Sixto Molino talking to some folks about campus security. And
very interesting conversation I think we got coming up.
Absolutely. So check that out at 9:06. We're hanging out with Chris Faddis from SolidarityHealthShare.org. And again, thanks to John and Jamie for the playlist. We're still waiting for the Chris Faddis 18 death metal songs to remember. So coming up soon. Christopher, welcome back. So I love making him laugh guiltily. It's one of my favorite things to do.
I've dumbfounded over here. So. Go ahead, keep talking.
After I asked him about how Catholic bishops are. Now, let's see. Here we go. So I saw this story in the Wall Street Journal. Hospitals are adding billions in facility fees for routine care. And as I said on our way out, it feels like the resort fees from the from when you stay at the hotel.
Yeah, I got one of those in Manhattan last week. I got a destination charge.
Yeah,
that's a new one.
give him a Christopher Walken on that, please, for this one. It's one of our new sound drops. Let's go. Here we go. It's coming.
You got me leaning away from first base here.
Sorry. That's okay.
Hang on a second.
He got a destination charge on his hotel bill in New York. Christopher.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Perfect.
There it is. Do you remember the rough percentage of such a fee?
I'm trying to think of the percentage. It was probably about almost. It was probably 15%.
Yeah,
100 million.
No, 10%. 10%. It was the total was 15%. If you added, it was 10%. It was kind of crazy. I've never seen that one. So,
so
I got it back.
What, you complained?
Oh yeah, yeah. This was ridiculous. I'm a Hilton Diamond member, and I was so they made me pay for checking my bags the last day. I was like, this is like Disneyland for hotels. It's ridiculous.
So what was their excuse for the, justification for a destination fee?
I don't know, but the way they said it when I checked in was like, you have this charge. And I was just like, what? Yeah, because you're in Manhattan. I was like, I don't know if it's a Manhattan thing. I don't know. I've never heard of it before. So I was in Manhattan 9 months ago and I didn't get charged it, so it must be new.
I like this one. This is from like a NerdWallet thing about, it says a lower base rate might pique a customer's interest that they may not otherwise have considered, then the hotel makes up the difference in revenue by charging a destination. Well, thank you.
That makes a lot of sense. Maybe that's what the hospitals are doing.
So that's when I see facility fee. Are they taking out their overhead costs, they're saying, and putting it on a facility fee?
It's a strange thing because there is, in medical billing, there's always been a facility fee. There's always been facility charges kind of bundled in. And there's place of service codes and all these things. So the way that works is like if you get, let's say you get stitches in your doctor's office versus getting stitches in the hospital. Or, maybe a small in-office procedure. They need to take your toenail out, which is technically a surgical procedure. They can do that in office and it'll cost X. But if they do it in a surgical center or hospital, it'll cost, Y or Z, right? So that's typical. But this is a new thing where they're adding this add-on service. And it's not just for hospitals or surgical centers. It's actually even for doctor's offices. So, the story that Wall Street Journal did talked about a family who had they were in an Ohio clinic for a specialist. $348, and then they also got a bill for the use of the office space at $645. So I don't know if this is like how they're financing. Like doctors can't get a lease on their building, so they're like, listen, if you let us bill all your patients, we'll let you lease the space. Like I don't understand it. It's very strange.
It just feels like just another way to club it on there for you. And I've noticed this. I've been seeing a lot of doctors with a family member over the last so many months, and everyone's billing their codes, and I've never seen them make so much money, Chris, just by filling out the same questionnaire over and over again.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all a mess. And this is what's so strange is, the thing is about these bills is, most insurers and most payers follow the guidelines of CMS, Center for Medicare Services, which is who publishes the billing codes and who, sort of sets the baseline rates. We use it for lots of things, right? And that, based on CMS guidelines and industry practice, extra charges for facilities have never been paid. So they've started doing this, and there even is apparently Medicare says that consumers on Medicare overpaid by $6 billion in 2021 because Medicare wasn't paying the fees and the providers were going after the individual and they felt obligated to pay the fee, so they paid it. And so what I'll tell people is don't pay it, fight it. They're not going to let you fight it, but fight it. we fight these for our members all day long, and we just cancel them out of the bill and don't look back. But you know, that's we know how to do it, right? So it's a real problem. It, you know, we already have this cost that we're dealing with in healthcare, and then you add things like this.
I had to take my mom to her Medicare annual wellness checkup, and they weighed her. They took her blood pressure twice, even though her blood pressure was great the first time, but the physician's assistant thought she really felt like she really had to make it look like she did something. And then they asked the questionnaire, and it's the questionnaire of, they asked her the loneliness questionnaire. I also, do you belong to any clubs or organizations? I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And then she got charged for a wellness check or a welfare check or something.
Yeah, and yeah. You're just like, what just happened here? Are you people insane? You know, and so, you know, the other thing I guess I'm learning, I think we've talked about it before, the hospital system's gobbling up the doctor's practices, right? And then they assign a value to each doctor just for how many of those, you know, people they can see for every 15 minutes and jam for whatever the charge is. And that's why your healthcare keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I almost wonder if they're doing this because of the No Surprises Act. I mean, they, you know, when that came out, hospitals were forced to publish their pricing and, you know, set on several things and also give you good faith estimates. So I don't know if this allows you to, if this allows them to kind of add a charge, like they're like, well, we better hide that extra cost that we were bloating in there, you know, and charge you on the end. But I know, you know, our members often will get those good faith estimates, and we're not seeing these facility fees on there. Whether or not they're, you know, disclosing them to people is another question, and it sounds like they're not.
So when we've seen this abuse of doctors and nurses that have driven a bunch of them out of the healthcare field, and then it seems we have less doctors than ever with what's going on, do you see any... we know that in the trying to pay for it, what you guys are doing at Solidarity is amazingly important. But on the care side, what do you see as some kind of little shining lights out there that people should pay attention to more to finding better health care than just being a zombie and going to the PCP practice they've been going to the last 90 years?
You know, here's the two things. One is, I think all the craziness since COVID, I think, finally woke a lot of physicians up. And so many of them are trying to get their way back out of the healthcare system. They're having a hard time doing it, but a lot of them are. And while they, you know, some are leaving completely, I think some are trying to be, you know, entrepreneurial and figure out how to go back on their own. The other side of that is, you know, being in Arizona, Chris, you know, we have a huge benefit of a whole suite of and level of integrative and alternative care in this state. Because we have full licensure for naturopaths and other doctors. And so we allow, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for finding really good pediatricians, really good family practice and internist type doctors that will take better care of you. and they are medically trained. So, you know, because it's full licensure in Arizona, they do get medical training in addition to naturopathic training and all of that. So there's and that is a huge opportunity to find independent practices that aren't owned by the hospital system, where you're going to get time with your doctor.
So how do you find them, Chris?
You, right?
How do you find those people?
I mean, I think you just got to look it up in your area, look for integrative doctors and naturopaths, you know, those kind of things.
Gotcha.
And certainly look at the reviews and do those things. You know, our family has a pediatrician that all of our kids go to, who's a naturopath, and it's fantastic. I mean, I'm never worried about them getting the right kind of care or being asked the crazy questions, because she actually cares about them. And, you know, she's not Catholic, but she respects our values, and she, you know, she's very understanding of that. So it's a really important piece, but definitely look those things up. You can find, I wish I remember the name of the local association here, but, anyway, there's lots of information online for these guys.
I'm telling, since COVID and all of the breakdown in medicine, I have found all three of them are physician's assistants who are really into practicing medicine instead of coding. I've had more success in better healthcare from the PAs than I have MDs over the last four years.
Yeah.
You know, they're just,
fair enough.
They're truly practicing medicine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one that does house calls on my side of town plus office visits, and I can do this with all three of them, I can text them and have I got a quick question for something. I'm not going through the voicemail from hell thing.
Right. Yeah. Which is amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's how I get most of my care. I rarely go to the doctor, you know. I just get in touch with the doc and ask the questions, and, you know, the kids go more, but, you know, in general, we're too busy to be there all the time. Right. So,
well,
I think it's important to find those people. And, you know, obviously there's times when you're going to need a specialist and you're going to end up in a hospital group, and there's good doctors there. It's not to say there's not good doctors. The hard part is they're just not allowed to do what they do well most of the time.
Chris Faddis, thanks for the great conversation as always, my friend.
Good talking to you.
All right. Have a good day. That's solidarityhealthshare.org, our good friend Chris Faddis. Tomorrow's show, huge. Austin Vonderhaden gets a op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star, beating up Pima County and Laura Conover. And then Carmen with a Mother's Day roadshow in the third hour. Wake up.